Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name. For thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will give thanks to thy name. For thou hast worked wonders, plans formed long ago, and with perfect faithfulness. Isaiah 25:1. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There is nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should reverence him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. I know that everything God does will remain forever. There's nothing to add to it, nothing to take from it. For God has so worked that men should reverence him. Ecclesiastes 3:14. Psalm 138, verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Psalm 138, 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. Psalm 138, verse 7. Will you open your Bibles this evening, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18. Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18. We've come to a magnificent passage of Scripture in the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. In a few moments, we're going to begin reading with verse 1 and read several verses and then skip down to verse 13. And so if you will, please open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Ephesians. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study this evening. May we pray together, please. Father, we are thankful for the privilege of being here. We realize that you have blessed all of us so richly. You've given us the health and the opportunity to leave our homes and make our way to this particular location for the specific purpose of opening our hearts and minds to the Word of God. We're thankful that we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We're thankful for the provisions of grace every single day of our lives, the logistical provisions. We thank you for loving us and blessing us. We pray that these moments tonight will be for all of us a great blessing as we learn some new things and make application of these wonderful truths. We thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. First of all, we're going to look at Ephesians 1:18. Then we'll begin reading with verse 1 of Ephesians 1 in a moment. Ephesians 1:18 says, the eyes of your heart, having been enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. We'll give time to that verse in a few moments, but I wanted you to see it, not only here on the screen, but you have it there before you. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1. The Apostle Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus and who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. These next verses are magnificent verses, but let's glance down now to verse 13. In him, you also, having listened to the message of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of his glory. Verse 15, for this reason, Paul said, I too, having heard of the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I need to tell you that in preparation for this message, I looked at these verses realizing that my verse for this evening is Ephesians 1:18. But when I read through again, looking at these magnificent verses, and when I got down to verse 17, I'll have to let you know that I had to pause there and look at it for a while. And then I had to go back to the original text, the Koine Greek, and see exactly what was here because of what I was seeing here in the King James Version. If you'll notice, please, it says in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation and the knowledge of him. Pausing with me for a few moments, I want you to see that when you look at verse 17, you'll see the spirit of wisdom. And there that word wisdom, as I found, was the Greek word sophia, which means the ability to understand and comprehend and utilize spiritual truths. Wisdom, sophia, is the ability to not only hear and know, but the ability to make application of the truth of God's word. How fantastic. Then I saw the next word, and I was familiar with this. It is the Greek word for revelation, apokalypsis, and I had no problem with that. But I was real anxious to get to the next word. And you'll notice, and I'm going to read it to you now again, what it says in the knowledge of him. And I had to ask myself the question before I look back at the original text, what word is being used here? And I concluded what the word was before I got there. And do you know what the word is? I'm sure you probably do. It is the Greek word epinosis. Beautiful, magnificent word for the ability to take God's word, learn it, study it consistently and faithfully, and then be able to see things from a divine vertical vantage point, see things beyond what you would normally be able to see. So epinosis means full knowledge, the ability to really see some magnificent things. Now, in the light of that, let's look now at verse 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. You have to pause and think about what is being said here. Paul said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Now, you know me well enough to know that I cannot go past this verse without pointing out some things. First of all, I want you to see that we have the Greek word photizo, photograph, photizo. So we have an emphasis upon the eyes of your heart. Have you ever thought about the eyes of your heart? Where would you find the eyes of your heart? Think about that for a few moments. The eyes of your heart. And then it says, having been enlightened. Now, what we are seeing here is something quite unique, because we're seeing the fact that there is something that is taking place in the life of the believer that the Apostle Paul is saying to these Ephesians, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened, which simply means it was enlightened in the past. You became the recipient of that enlightenment, and you still have that magnificent attitude of seeing from a divine vertical viewpoint. And then it says that you may know. Let's take a moment for this word. You can see that it is the word oida, O-I-D-A, which is a perfect tense. We all understand that. Right up here we see a perfect tense. Here we see a perfect tense. Here we see a passive voice. Here we see an active voice. So you're able to see the difference in these two magnificent words, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. that you may know what? Know what is the hope, elpis, of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I want to begin tonight by telling you that about 10 years ago, we were able to get a car that had a GPS system on it. I'm aware of the fact that many times we use the terminology GPS, and we don't probably even know what those letters stand for. So I thought tonight I would help you know. GPS is, of course, a satellite navigation system. And the GPS, those letters stand for Global Positioning System. I'm not going to ask how many of you already knew that. I just want to brag on you and say that you probably did. But if you didn't, now you know. The GPS is the satellite navigation system, Global Positioning System. Now, I've come to the conclusion that there's not only an emphasis in our thinking about how we use the GPS, but there is a DPS, which I'm going to be calling the Divine Power Sphere or the Divine Power System, DPS, which is a heavenly navigation system. Now, you know me well enough to know that I enjoy these letters and I enjoy talking about various things. And I came to the conclusion that there's also what we're going to call a GSL. You might want to write those letters down. GSL stands for God's System of Learning. Please write somewhere in your notes this evening, GSL, God's System of Learning. Over the years, we've looked at the GSC, the Grace System of Comprehension, so that's not a new one for you. But I wanted to give you some new letters. GSL, God's System of Learning. I've concluded that this system is a system of grace. There's no doubt in my mind about the fact that if you and I have the ability to study and learn God's Word, it has to be a system that is presented to us by the grace of God. So the question I have then is, what does the grace of God mean? Well, grace is the free and unmerited favor of God shown towards mankind. What is grace? It's very simple and yet compound. The free and unmerited favor of God shown towards mankind. Grace is the divine assistance and power given to us in spiritual rebirth and sanctification. Now, what you'll have to see is that I'm using the word man for mankind. Here you see that the free grace is the free and unmerited favor of God toward us. We're seeing, number two, that the divine grace is the divine assistance and the power given to mankind in spiritual rebirth and sanctification. Perhaps you remember this from last Sunday, or if you didn't, let me tell you that when you were born, you were born, and I was born, physically alive and spiritually dead. Now, we have age 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, on up, 6, 7, 8, 9. I don't know how old you were when you accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. I was about 11. So you have to say that between my birth, which is the point of time when I became an individual, and I was born physically alive, but spiritually dead. And then I was born again, rebirth, at 11. Some of you were born spiritually earlier than that. But anyway, I'll have to tell you that your old sin nature had a head start on your new birth. If you were saved at 11 or 12 or 9 or 10, you'd already been spiritually, physically alive and spiritually dead for all those previous years. Now, I do want you to see that when you became a believer, and I became a believer, we received God's grace as a divine assistance and power that was given to us by means of this spiritual rebirth and sanctification. What is the meaning of the word sanctification? We've seen it many, many times. I repeat this evening. There's positional sanctification. There's experiential sanctification, and there's ultimate sanctification. This is not new to most of you. Positional sanctification simply means our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were saved, we became a recipient of God's grace, imputed righteousness, born into God's family, an heir of God, joint heir of Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. And so we're talking about rebirth here. And we're talking about positional sanctification, which is number one. And then what we're doing here this evening is experiential sanctification. We're here, we're in fellowship with the Lord, we're listening to these words from God's Word, and we're growing and advancing, and so that's experiential sanctification. And then, ultimate sanctification, all of you know, one of these days, we're going to go to our eternal home. So, you all know now, and you've heard this many, many times, sanctification, positional, experiential, ultimate. Number three, grace is the condition of being favored or sanctified by God. Now look at this. Grace is the condition of being favored or set apart, sanctified by God. Number four, this is an unmerited gift. Unmerited gift. We don't deserve it. We are not worthy of it. We cannot afford it. We could not pay for it. So grace is an unmerited gift, unmerited favor, and is granted to us by our Heavenly Father. I want to tell you that there are different things that happened to me in life, and one of those is that we had a phone and we got an app on it called Waze. Some of you may be familiar with that, but it's an interesting thing. It's exciting for me because here's the old man who sits in the back seat of a car riding along with someone else, and I can have that thing on and I can say, you're going 62 miles an hour. You're going 65 miles an hour. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. What is also interesting about that, you can hear when it says there is a stalled car 1 mile ahead on the right. Or you can hear it say that there's a policeman just 1 or 2 miles down the road on the right. It's an interesting little machine. I appreciate that app. I've had a lot of fun with it. Now, I wanted to let you know that we have, in this life, physical IQ. And because we've been born into God's kingdom, we have spiritual IQ. So we're going to call this, and you can write it down, human IQ and spiritual IQ. Those are two major words for us this evening in the light of Ephesians 1:18. Because Ephesians 1:18 says, and I'll put it back for you to see, it's an interesting passage indeed because it says, the eyes of your heart having been enlightened. Please notice that our eyes of the heart having been enlightened. And you'll notice that it means it's been enlightened in the past, which simply means that when God worked the miracle of transformation in us, He gave us the ability to see from a divine viewpoint. He's given us what we call spiritual IQ. So we're going to get into this more in detail later, but I want you to see that there's a difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. Many times I've said, people have said to me, I don't believe I can learn. I'm sorry, but when you're teaching in such a heavy way that I cannot comprehend what you're saying. And they're using that as an excuse because I want you to understand that I realize that there's a difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. Listen to me carefully and you'll see the difference. Human IQ, no matter how high or low your human IQ is, when we come to receive the spiritual food, it is a spiritual matter, not a human matter. It's a matter where God, the Holy Spirit, gives us the ability, when we're in harmony and fellowship, cleansed of sin, God gives us the ability to comprehend those things in the realm of the spiritual. We'll see that more and more clearly as we move along here this evening. But there's an emphasis in the Word of God on human IQ and spiritual IQ. There's a statement that I want you to see now. Spiritual IQ, only effective inside of the divine power sphere. I'm giving you time to write this if you so desire, because you need to see that spiritual IQ is only effective when you and I are residing inside of that sphere of power, which simply means that we're in harmony, in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you're ready to take some notes, so here we go. God's system of learning, Ephesians 1:18. Each person, number one, each perceptive believer, each person desires or should desire to study and to comprehend the truth of God's Word. I don't believe you'd be here this evening if it were not for the fact that you have a hunger and a desire to receive the Word of God. That's why we're here. That's why we opened our Bibles. That's why we read the Scripture. Each perceptive believer then desires to study and comprehend the truth of God's Word. It's amazing to me to see over these many, many years of Bible study and dealing with people from all walks of life with all different types of IQs from very high to very low, I've been able to see how each perceptive person who desires to study God's Word can learn the truth of God's Word. Now, I'm aware of the fact that here it takes a person to be consistent. Like you are being consistent here tonight. You have to be consistent. And when you are in fellowship with the Lord, however you have developed over a period of time, you may be a baby believer. You may be an adolescent believer. You may be a youth believer. You may be a young adult believer. We're talking about advancing. You may be an advanced believer. Wherever you are, what you do when you are listening to the Word of God, by being in fellowship with the Lord, you're able to comprehend and receive a certain percent of the truth that is being presented. If you're listening to me very carefully now, you're going to be able to see that even a baby believer who is in fellowship with Jesus Christ, in tune with the Lord Jesus Christ, cleansed of sin, filled with the Spirit, listening attentively and carefully, that person could be receiving 40%, 50%, 60% of the content of that particular message. I'm spelling this out in detail tonight because I want you to be able to see that any person who comes to me and would say to me, I'm sorry, I can't learn because what you're teaching is too heavy, they have no concept of what I've just said to you. Do you follow what I'm saying? In other words, God has a system of learning. It is God's system of learning. It is a grace system of learning. Each person who is perceptive, a perceptive believer, who desires to study and to comprehend the truth of God's Word, is going to be able to learn. Number two, our God has provided that which is necessary to properly hear, receive, and comprehend the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know those are simple words, but profound indeed. Our God has provided that which is necessary to properly hear, receive, and comprehend the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. What you and I must know is that God has given us a mind. In the Greek, that word is nous. So I'm going to tell you that you have a nous. First, number three, we have been given a mind. The mind gives us the ability to receive information and the ability of comprehending truth for the soul. Now, notice while I was writing this, typing this, I saw that I needed to put a parenthesis. So you'll read it. First, we have been given a mind, the nous, the ability to receive information and the ability. And then I got to this point, I interrupted myself, when utilizing God's system of learning. Now, there's where I interrupted myself to tell you that the reason I've interrupted myself is because first God has given you a mind, which gives you the ability to receive information and the ability of comprehending truth for the soul. That is when you and I are utilizing God's system of learning. Ephesians 1:18, our verse for tonight, tells us that the eyes of the heart enlightened. A beautiful verse. I hope you never forget Ephesians 1:18. Number four, at salvation, we became the recipient of regeneration. At that time, God worked the miracle of His imputed righteousness. What I'm saying is things I've said over and over and over again. What I've emphasized is that some weeks or months or years ago, you made the decision and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And God worked the miracle of regeneration in your life. How wonderful that is for you and I, for you and us, for me to be able to see that God worked a miracle of regeneration. God transformed us. And at that point of time, what happened here is that Jesus Christ came in to set up His abode in your life and mine. I and you and me, the scripture says. So at that point of time, God worked this magnificent spiritual, magnificent truth and experience in your life that transformed you, and we call it regeneration. Now, look at this. I'll go back and review just the first part. At salvation, we became the recipient of regeneration. When, at that point, God worked the miracle of His imputed righteousness. Notice, please, this is the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. For the last five sessions, we've dealt with the subject of the indwelling Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. If you'll look at Colossians 1:27, here's what you're going to see. To whom God wished to make known, and we're going to be looking at this in the first session next Sunday, to whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mysterion, mystery, among the Gentiles. I just can't wait until next Sunday morning for this first session. That's the reason why I'm starting it here tonight. I want you to see that there are a number of things in this verse of Scripture that you and I cannot miss. First of all, we have to understand that it is God's plan, God's desire, God's wish to make known to us the riches of the glory of the mysterion, the mystery, among the Gentiles. If you're following carefully, and if you've learned anything over the years, you've been able to see the age of the Gentiles, the age of Israel, and you saw the age of grace, the inserted time, the intercalated period, and you've been able to see that when you get through into the book of Acts, the first chapters, get over to chapter 7, see Stephen being stoned, see Saul of Tarsus viewing that situation, and jump into chapter 9 of the book of Acts, and you'll find the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. Cruel, mean individual indeed. But God, out of all the individuals, chose this man, Saul of Tarsus, to be the communicator to the Gentiles. Now, to some of you, that is making a lot of things go whirling in your mind. Acceptance and appreciation for what I'm saying to you. Others of you, you're getting it, and that's fine, but let's look at it. God wished to make known what is the riches, P-L-O-U-T-O-S. Have you ever heard the word plutocrat? There's where it comes from. Plutos, rich. To whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the doxa, glory, of the mysterion, the mystery. And all of us probably are fully aware of the fact that throughout the Old Testament, individuals, the prophets were not able to see things and comprehend things in relationship to the age of grace. But then you and I know that we're living in a time where we have the ability to comprehend the mysterion. And we'll talk about that in great detail in the future. Now, look at this. To whom God wished to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is that doing to you? It's letting you see that what I'm saying in relationship to regeneration, what took place at the point of salvation, when God the Holy Spirit worked the miracle in your life, and I said time and time again, Jesus Christ said, I and you and me. What do we have here? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, I don't want to get too excited about this because I'll be coming back to it again. All right. Notice, if you will, please. This is the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27. Now, am I in the right place? Yeah, let's go back. I cannot go too far without pointing out the fact that, and I'll get to it eventually, and let you see that we are now in point 5. Did I look at point 4 thoroughly? Y'all hold on and let me find point 4. At salvation, we became the recipient of regeneration. When God worked the miracle of His imputed righteousness, and this is the gift of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, point 5. In the future, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I only have a few references here for you. But when you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10, 11, 12, and 13, those passages reveal that we, as born-again individuals in this age of grace, have received what we're going to call, and I don't want you to misunderstand me here, we have received what I'm calling an invisible storage place called the human spirit. Now, I'm going to go slowly enough for you to be able to see what I'm trying to get over. When you get into Paul's writings to the Corinthians, he reveals to us that we, as born-again individuals, in this magnificent age of grace, from Pentecost to the rapture, we have received what I don't know of a better way to say it than we have received a receptacle, an invisible storage place called the human spirit. You remember we've said many, many times, an unbeliever is body and soul, but a believer is no longer a psychikos, but a pneumatikos. She is a spiritual person now because they have become the recipient of the human spirit. So they're now body, soul, and spirit. I'm calling this, I don't know how to explain it other than I'm calling this an invisible storage place called the human spirit. If you can think of a way to explain it better than that, just let me know. I want you to be able to see what I'm driving at. I use the word receptacle, and the word receptacle did not say for me what I wanted to say. And so I'm trying to say it, so it'll say for me what I wanted to say. Receptacle means an invisible, not something visible, but an invisible storage place called the human spirit. I'm going to ask you a question. Have you been able to see recently your soul? Is it visible or invisible? Body, you're able to see, right? Sure. Your body brought you in here tonight. You probably looked in the mirror before you came tonight, and you saw your body. You saw something visible. Did you see your soul? Did you see your spirit? I'm trying to let you see something. This passage of Scripture, we'll get into it later, reveals that when we're born into God's kingdom, God, because of His magnificent grace, gives to us an invisible storage place, a receptacle. We call that the human spirit. Now listen to this. At that time, He not only gives us the human spirit, He gives us, along with that, the ingredients that are necessary for us to grow up. I'm saying to you, and I would say to our entire congregation, is 3 hours a week too much? What I'm saying to you is, you're here this evening, and I thank God for the fact that you're here. I'm sorry for people who miss because of what they miss. It is not me. It is because of what they miss from God's Word. Spiritual maturity, number 6, should be the goal of every born-again believer. So I'm going to back up, and I want you to see again. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 10, 11, 12, 13, and I said, we'll see those in detail later. Those passages of Scripture reveal to us that in this age of grace, between Pentecost and the rapture, God has given us this receptacle, the invisible storage place called the human spirit. We're not now body and soul. We're body, soul, and spirit. Along with that, God is giving us all the ingredients that are necessary for us to grow up. Number 6, spiritual maturity, therefore, should be the goal of every born-again believer. Number 7, when we comprehend the Word of God in our minds, receiving it while in fellowship, in harmony, it is gnosis, knowledge, that can be moved to epignosis, which is the ability to utilize and apply those things which we've learned. So we have two words there. We have the word gnosis and we have the word epignosis, which we've seen in our verses here this evening. When we comprehend the word, Jesus said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We find that in the Philippians. When we comprehend the word of God in our minds, receiving it while in fellowship, it becomes gnosis first, which is knowledge. Number 8, then, when we begin to mix what we're receiving with trust and faith and confidence, Hebrews 4:2, it becomes utilizable, applied knowledge, usable, which is described by the word epignosis. I trust you're writing these words down, which means over and above knowledge. Let's just say that 10 minutes from now, we close the service and I ask you to remain. And I come and sit by your side, just you, and I ask you some questions about this message tonight. And I ask you the question, what definition would you give to the word gnosis or knowledge? What definition would you give to the word epignosis or full knowledge? And I believe that all of you have listened well enough tonight that you could explain this. We mix the promises. We mix what we are learning with trust and faith and belief. And it becomes something that we can use. It becomes applied knowledge, which is described by this Greek word, epignosis, in 1 Corinthians 2:12. What I'm trying to tell you is that these verses that we'll be getting into more in detail later, 1 Corinthians 2, 10, 11, 12, all through there, magnificent verses of Scripture that tells us how our lives can be drastically changed. Number 9. When you go to the book of Ephesians again, we're in Ephesians 1:18 tonight. But when you go to Ephesians 3:19, we read, and to know the love of Christ, which passes, look at this, knowledge. This passage exhorts, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll tell you the truth. I cannot fully comprehend that at all. The fullness of God? Wow. Please look at this. Ephesians 3:19. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Number 10. For the Word of God to be anything more than intellectual comprehension, it must be believed, it must be applied on a moment-by-moment basis. In preparation for this service, and when I got down to that particular number, I want you to be able to see that I got so excited that the typewriter went up in capital letters. For the Word of God, I'm going to blame that on the typewriter, that computer. For the Word of God to be anything more than intellectual comprehension, I'm going to stop right there and tell you that I appreciate our congregation more than you will ever know. And I deal with people on an individual basis because I love this. And I love for people to share with me what they may be getting or what they may not be getting or why they feel they may or may not be getting, whatever. And if anyone says to me, you know what, I feel like that the content of the communication, I just cannot get it. And I have to say that I need to emphasize, because of my love for those individuals, I need to emphasize, we're not talking about human IQ here. We're not talking about being able to hear with your physical ears and comprehend without having yourself in proper relationship to Jesus Christ. Because spiritual food has to come in on the basis of spiritual understanding. You have to be right with God to listen to what I'm saying and to hear it properly. In other words, when you're in fellowship, in harmony, and the words are coming through, and you're hearing those words can either be words humanly speaking, or those words can be words from a spiritual standpoint. Do you see what I'm saying? You see the difference? What I'm saying here is, for the Word of God to be anything more than intellectual comprehension. I'm not concerned about people having all of this human comprehension of what I'm saying. I want them to be able to have a right relationship with God, be in fellowship with God, listen with a heart of it's open so that the eyes of the heart can be enlightened. That's what the Scripture is saying here. So please, all of you here and those who hear me and will be hearing me later, let me say to you, listen attentively and carefully while in fellowship, because God then will allow you to have your eyes of your heart enlightened. It's possible for people who are baby believers, and I repeat what I've said earlier tonight, you can be a baby believer in fellowship and receive 10% or 30% or 50%. I don't know. Be in fellowship with the Lord and be in tune. Be listening attentively and carefully with a perceptive heart. And let God, the Holy Spirit, be the one bringing about the eyes of your heart being enlightened. Am I saying this where we can all understand? Please, let me tell you, we're not dealing with things just from a human standpoint. We're human beings, and we're hearing human words. But we've got to be able to see that it goes far deeper than that. For the Word of God to be anything more than intellectual comprehension, it must be believed and applied while in fellowship on a moment-by-moment basis. Two more points, 11 and 12. We're not studying this tonight. I'm only presenting it to you so you can write it down and read it when you get home. When you read the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it gives a distinction between human IQ and spiritual IQ. I'm only making that assignment to let you see that we'll be getting to that in the future. But there's a difference between human IQ and spiritual IQ. If a person has a low human IQ, it doesn't keep that person from being in fellowship and receiving spiritual fuel for his or her soul. Now, I could get in some details here in relationship to mentality, and we could talk about that, and I have concepts in relationship to that, but we're not dealing with that right now. I'm simply saying that even though a person may have a high IQ, a high human IQ, or a middle or low human IQ, this is not a detriment to receiving spiritual fuel for the soul. The only detriment to receiving spiritual fuel is being out of harmony, not being right with God. There's where the detriment comes in. So when you go to the 16 verses of the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, it gives a distinction, and we'll study this later in detail, between human IQ and spiritual IQ. When you back up to the first chapter of 1 Corinthians and look at 19 to 21, and then go to 1 Corinthians 2:9, you'll see it excludes human IQ from God's system of learning. And I just laugh when I see this, because I can tell anyone, no matter what they say to me, about I can't hear and I can't understand what you're saying. Oh, listen to me. Be in fellowship, and God will do the interpreting. The Holy Spirit does His work. It's magnificent what He does. When you go to these verses, 1 Corinthians 1:19 to 21, 1 Corinthians 2:9, you see, excludes human IQ from God's system of learning. Do you remember what the first line was back here? Let me see if I can find it. We see there the GPS, global positioning system. We see the divine power sphere. And then somewhere here I have God's system of learning. Where is that? I know I have it here, but I want you to see it. It's called GSL, God's System of Learning. Has all this made sense tonight? I trust it has. It's 7:57, and I have 3 more minutes. I just need to preach some more. Let's bow for a moment of prayer, please. These last moments of our service are for you who have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. I'm so happy I can tell you that God loves you, and the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth as the God-man and then die and give Himself totally for your sins, my sins, and the sins of the world. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. You can have eternal life tonight if you'll simply right now, right there where you are, accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me. So this is telling us that there's only one way of salvation, by faith alone, in Christ alone. The Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. Father, we're thankful for Your grace and blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.